You're listening to the Mother of All Solutions podcast, conversations about careers and caring for today's parents.
Hello, I am Eleri Morgan. I am a writer and comedian and now also a mother to a giant 8-month-old baby.
So welcome, listeners, to Mother of All Solutions podcast, very much into the swing of autumn. I hope you're enjoying the rain, the bit of refresh after that intense summer that we didn't have. So anyhow, enough of my waffle. I'm delighted to have a lovely guest with me today. I've got comedian and writer Eleri Morgan. So hello to Eleri. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I was really enjoying the hideous weather we've been having.
And you're based in, which bit of Wales are you, Eleri? Where are you in Wales?
I'm based in South Wales, in Cardiff. I'm nice. Currently in West Wales, near Aberystwyth. I'm staying with my parents.
I've never been to that bit of Wales. It's always been on my, well, not always, but for a while it's been on my list of places to head to, so maybe I should come.
No, don't bother. Much here.
I think it was after all those beautiful shots in The Crown. You know, they filmed the bit when Charles went to that bit of Wales.
Yeah.
It looked really nice in that.
They're very jealous with those shots. You know that Instagram versus real life?
Yes, yes.
I grew up in Aberystwyth and I was like, I don't recognise this place at all.
Okay, I'll rewind and I'll think of somewhere else to go to. I was just like, you know, everyone goes to Devon and Cornwall. I'll go to Aberystwyth, you know. It's like
people go to those places for a reason and they like avoid West Wales for another reason.
So normally home is Cardiff area.
Yes.
Yes. And tell me a little bit about your work and your home and who's in your family, Eleri. Just give us a flavour of who you are.
So I was raised in Aberystwyth. My parents are farmers. I went away to drama school when I was 19, went up to London. I think because I'm a middle child that my family aren't into the arts at all. Well, you know, they like watching Father Ted, I guess. And I think that's
it's a good show.
Yeah, great show. And so I went to drama school, which I really enjoyed, but I sort of realized pretty much as soon as I got there that it wasn't really acting. That wasn't the thing. I'd always loved comedy. I'd always loved making people laugh.
Okay.
And I think I went into acting because I think a lot of women do this. I never had the confidence to do comedy. I didn't want other people thinking that I thought that I was funny.
Okay.
Even though I did, I always thought I was the funniest person in the room, but I didn't want other people thinking that I was that audacious.
Yeah. Tricky balance, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be like, oh, does she know she's funny? No, but obviously I knew.
The kids in the class were laughing at the stuff you were saying.
But I was so, I always knew I wanted to do comedy, but it took a while for me to get the confidence. So I think I was 27 when I started doing stand-up and I'm 34 now.
Okay.
But 27, I would do one gig, run away and hide for 6 months just to just recuperate and think about what I'd done, and then do another gig. So the first 2 years I did comedy, I maybe did 5 gigs.
Yeah.
Comedy, also writing, I did that. I actually did the writing before the stand-up, but it was very much just for myself.
Okay.
And then when I started doing comedy, and I started getting okay at it, people always assume that if you do comedy you can write comedy, which
okay.
I don't know is true, but I sort of understand the logic of that. And then I've always written scripts for no reason, I guess, if you're asking.
Just my own creativity.
So then I've sort of done the writing and comedy hand in hand. But since I've had a baby, actually, it stand up, in some ways, it's really great. Mm. In some ways, it's really difficult. And I think I'm heading more towards the writing just because childcare and everything. It's tricky. It's really hard.
Yeah. So tell me more about that. So you introduced yourself at the beginning as having a giant baby. How old is giant baby?
Giant baby. He's called Dowie. He's 8 months old.
Oh, bless him.
He was born Christmas time, 2022. It's the last time I slept through the night. He's wonderful. He's amazing. So I had him with my boyfriend. He was very much a surprise baby. I was on the coil. So it was very, very much a surprise baby.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
Yeah, I was actually, I just started the second trimester when I found out, because I think I was in total denial. Yeah. I was like, no way I'm pregnant.
And if you weren't expecting, yeah.
So. Well, you're being very generous. Since then, how could you be so stupid? I think I was just putting, like, I had morning sickness. I had a sudden aversion to all coffee, all alcohol. And I just kept, and even my boyfriend, he was like, look, you're probably just having some kind of mental breakdown.
Everyone in your house was in denial. You're like, yeah. We haven't even looked at each other.
No, they were like, look, you can't be pregnant. You're obviously dying. So even when I took the pregnancy test, we did it. So I was like, let's just do it.
You did
so
three. Like, yeah.
100% I'm not pregnant. And I took the first pregnancy test after like weeks of throwing up in the morning. Mm. First one. And the, you know, usually it's like, wait 2 minutes. The moment I piss hit the stick, it was like pregnant.
Popped
and
was, up. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, look, let's just sleep on it and try again in the morning. So I tried a second one in the morning. It was like, you are so pregnant. So yes, I somehow managed to get pregnant on the coil. So by the time I went to have the scan, he could like move and there was a heartbeat, and I know that happens quite soon, but like,
yeah,
he looked like a baby. He had like little hands and a face.
Yeah. You didn't see the little pee stage. Yeah.
I missed all of the like dinosaur thing. You know, when they look sort of minging, he was just like a Pokemon. He was a baby. And me and my boyfriend had not been going out that long. Mm-hmm. He at one point had known me longer pregnant than not. I think we've been together maybe 6 months.
Okay.
Not long, but it felt right, which is what I kept saying, which looking back, I think was hormones. But he said he's great. He's from Birmingham. Dale, he's very much not in the arts. He's an accounts manager. He's really normal.
He's really normal. I like that. Not in the arts, really normal. Everyone in the arts is abnormal.
We're a mess. We're hot messes. We're all hot messes. But yeah, he's lush.
Is that the baby or Dale or both?
Both.
Both. But amazing.
Slightly more lush. I had him in December. And been trying to figure out how to do life with him. I think because he was so unplanned.
Yeah. So a lot of readjustments going on. And so you said that the stand-up work around now being mum to an eight-month-old, the writing's kind of taking over a bit in terms of practicalities. Are you using any formal childcare, or have you not got to that point yet? Or
no, and I've been really disorganized. So I think because I hadn't planned to have a baby, and it was never on my – I wasn't even thinking about a baby. I think maybe – I feel like I'm a few steps behind everyone. I also kind of wish, because I'm freelance, in many ways, I imagine it's much easier than having a 9-to-5 job. But in other ways, I've been really scared about saying I can't do work because I just don't want to be forgotten. And if you can't do a job, someone else will take that job you can't do. And so I've been trying to, I haven't really taken maternity leave. I was pretty much back gigging when Dave was 4 weeks. I think it was my first gig back.
Okay.
Bits here and there. But what I've done is I've tried to keep my hand in the tiller, but I've done it all really badly.
I'm sure you haven't. I'm sure you're being completely harsh on yourself here, because this is
so bad. So I write for, Have I Got News For You is one of my regular gigs that I write for. Mm-hmm. And they asked me back, and about 4 months I was like, yeah, because I don't want to be forgotten. It's a really good job. No, it would have been 6 months. 6 months. They asked me back for 4 months, and I was like, no, please, no.
Yeah, he's still tiny.
He's still tiny. And at 6 months, I was like, sure, I must say yes. And that day, he was teething, and it was the first day I'd left him for a full day, and I just left him with my boyfriend. And I was like, bye. Sorry, I hope this doesn't emotionally scar you that I'm walking away when you really need me. Also, I'm so tired. My baby is not, he's not slept through a single night, not one yet.
Well, yeah.
But I feel like I'm only surrounded by people whose babies have slept through since 6 weeks.
Oh, I don't think that's true. I mean, even
if they lie, surely.
I don't know. I mean, my babies, and I've got two who are now older, 9 and 5 they are, they didn't sleep through till at least one.
Good. I mean, not good
if
for you.
If that's reassuring. I
don't know. I'm only around people who's like, oh, my baby sleeps the whole way through and I'm like, giving in.
I think it also depends on your feeding routines and, you know, if lots of stuff. It's not easy, whatever it is, whether, you know, there's always going to be something that comes up to disturb the sleep or the teething comes in.
Yeah,
and,
you know what? I feel like I'm doing everything wrong in that I have no type of sleep training. Basically, my parenting style is it will sort itself out eventually. That's what I'm going
to do. You
with.
Know what? I think that is fair enough. And they say good enough is often the right way to be. You know, it's sorry, this is now turning into one of those like as if I have parenting advice. I don't at all. But you know, it's your first baby, right?
I mean, even if
you had been planning it for, you know, the year before or whatever, even if you had been, there is still a complete shock to your system and a change of routine and lifestyle that you can't really prepare for. And the baby's needs, I know everyone says you should put mum in the picture as well and take time for yourself, but ultimately you are worried that that baby's needs are being met on you. So,
I don't know if he'll turn out okay. I feel like I get, first of all, I don't understand how people have more than one baby. That blows my mind. I'm like, how did you do it?
Well, that question's off my list now.
No, thank you. But also, it's just, I am quite jealous of second time mums because I'm like, oh, because you've got an example that your baby's okay. Mm. I mean, like with the second time, is it just more relaxing? Because you're like, he will walk eventually or he'll learn to eat eventually and he's I just feel like second time mums are so much more relaxed. I'm quite jealous.
Yeah, well, I'm actually going to see a mum this afternoon who I'm friends with locally and she's got a new baby and it's her second and she's just messaged me going, it is easier, isn't it? Like second one is easier.
Yeah.
So I think, there is a bit of that. Mm. But hey, let's not put pressure on you, right? I mean, the here and now is fine. You're doing fine. Do you feel a bit better? I don't know.
Yes, the childcare thing, I did start looking because I was speaking to some other mums who, like, I know that there's a childcare crisis and people have been talking about it. Mm. And I have not looked at nurseries.
Okay.
And then I spoke to a mum who was like, oh, yeah, I put my child into my nursery when I found out I was pregnant. So fingers crossed I haven't messed it up and there is space for him somewhere.
Okay.
Because I'm self-employed, my baby doesn't need to go to
full
nursery
time,
yet. However, it's really annoying because I work ad hoc days. I never know when I'm working. Like I'll have
which
a
which is one of the difficulties for freelance workers. Yeah. Like, how do you find childcare places that will accommodate ad hoc?
And I don't even know if that'll be good for Dewi because I know that baby's like routine, and I'm like, well, sorry, love, I don't have routine, so you're gonna have to work around me.
Yeah,
but I also. I think I would like him to go to nursery even just one morning a week just because I can do emails then or if I knew that I had
focus time.
Focus time to work because I've not been doing that. Mm. And there's no two ways about it. It's really hard. Also, I looked at the cost of nurseries. Oh, my days. Oh, my days.
Because
people keep saying, like, babies are really expensive. And I'm like, I have not found that to be the case at all. I haven't. Everything I've been given secondhand or I get from charity shops. Like the thought of buying something new that blows my mind. Mm. There's no need to buy anything new for a baby.
Yeah.
And so I've been like, it's been really cheap. And now I looked at how much nursery would cost and I've been like, this is what they're talking about.
That's what they're getting at. Yeah.
It's genuinely going to bankrupt me.
The childcare crisis is very real. You know, there's lots of campaigning organizations and I don't know exactly how it differs in Wales, but I imagine it's a similar sort of landscape of, you know, not enough nursery workers, not enough well-paid nursery workers, not enough spaces for the needs of parents in the communities, just general underfunding and then expense for parents as well.
It's truly wild. And also neither of our parents, like my partner Dale's parents still work, my parents still work. So it's not like I can ask my mum to like, and they both live about 2 hours away.
Yeah, so it's not regular. Yeah.
I can't be like, can you come up and look after, you know, can you drive? They can't, they work.
Yeah.
No, so actually, don't know how we're going to manage, but I'm sure we'll figure it out.
I'm not going to like sugarcoat it. It probably will be a challenge and a stress, yeah. Which is one of the reasons why this podcast started, because, you know, I was like talking to lots of mums, yeah, when I was going through your early stage and just being like, okay, well, how am I going to get work to fit in with this, yeah, and that to fit in with that, and like, how does that all link together?
Got a really good piece of advice from a friend, and it's what I'm going by. I've started just turning up with my baby at gigs.
Cool. No, just great. Yeah.
And people, because of feminism, people have to be nice now. And the piece of advice that
well,
my
not
friend
everyone,
gave me
but yeah.
is it's much easier to apologize than to ask permission and have them say.
Oh, good advice. Yeah.
So instead of saying, is it okay if I bring my baby?
Because then people could think about it. And
yeah, they go, oh, not really. Yeah. I now just turn up with my baby. I have breastfed through so many meetings.
Yeah.
I've breastfed at BBC meetings. However, I don't know if that's a negative impact, because I don't know how much work I've or have even heard from these people since I've turned up and whacked my tits out in a meeting.
And it's not like we can do a survey of these people. Did you find it annoying that Larry was breastfeeding while she was in the room?
And also, if you don't hear from them, what I can do, and I might start doing, is if I don't get work, before it was because I'm not good enough. Now it's because that it's a toxic work environment that doesn't embrace women. Mm. That's what I'm going by.
You are I don't want that gig anyhow. I don't want that. Yeah.
And I can accuse them of being really unfair to new mums, and then they have to give me the job. Even it could just be because I'm.
Which
sure.
way is it going to play? I know. God, all these conundrums, right? I mean, who'd have thought that being a new mum was going to kind of throw so many curveballs at you? Yeah. And I know we are making light of it, but yeah, it is stressful in situations. And I definitely did breastfeed around work colleagues, but only on days when I popped into the office to see people, or a keeping in touch day. Maybe it wasn't quite as, because I was in a regular 9-to-5 sort of situation with a standard maternity leave, etc. So I know it's different when your workload is varied, right? And
I had a writing day up in London a few weeks ago, and loads of ones up in London I've just not been able to do, especially my boyfriend's can't help with a baby at the moment. It's been a rough year. He injured his shoulder picking up the baby. He like tore it. Tore it at the gym, and the act of picking up Dowie makes it worse. So he's not been able to hold Dowie. And then we got into a car crash, and he's had to have surgery on his wrist and his foot. So he can't help with Dowie at all.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Which has been hard on me, but I also really feel for Dale, because this is the first year, we're not going to get that back, and he can't.
The little snuggles and things.
Yeah, and he used to love it when Dowie could fall asleep on his chest when he was a newborn. And he can't pick him, and Dowie's aching to be picked up by his dad, and he can't do anything. So it's been hard for both of us, and I do really feel sorry for Dale, but I've had to say no to so much work.
Yeah. Well, all the travel time as well, if you were coming in to set the cost of the trains, the train strikes that have been on, you know, all the other stuff that you're...
Especially because we've had to move back in with my parents just whilst he recovered. We are so far away from everywhere. It takes 6.5 hours to get to London from here. So I had a writing note, and I'd said no to so many things, and I was like, I can't say no to this one. It's a really good opportunity. It'll bring me more work. So Mam took a day off work to help look after Dowie. Mm-hmm. I went up, but it meant that I was stuck in a writer's room. And usually you're the only woman in a writer's room anyway. They bring you in as a token woman. And
keep that in.
yeah, you can definitely keep that in. They bring you in as a token woman, you're just there. But it was for like satire. It was to write satire. And there's a breed of man who writes political comedy who is so nerdy. It's not even like beta males. They're like delta males.
Okay.
And I needed to express. I so badly needed a pump. And it was my fault. I should have been a better feminist and just done it. But I...
You were aching,
I couldn't say to these poor nerdy boys, I need to empty my tits. Because it would have ruined their lives.
Probably.
I couldn't I couldn't do that to them.
The comedy would have gone awry, right?
Yeah. I'll ruin your lives. I'll ruin your day. I don't want to upset you. So my boobs were getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I was getting so hot. And it was on that really hot day, the hot day that we had, that I was sweating. And I was like, I'll just wait for lunchtime and I'll run out. And we didn't get a lunchtime because it was day back of PMQs. So everyone had to watch it. So at 7 o'clock, everyone was like, we're going to the pub. And I was like, yeah, I'll join you. And I got up and we were in Soho in London. I ran out onto the streets of Soho and panicked, emptied my tits in a Bone Daddy's ramen restaurant.
Oh, amazing. I thought you were going to say a pint glass from the pub. I was like, that would have been a bit rock and roll.
I wish. I ran and in the men's toilets, because the women's toilets were full, because they always are. Emptied my tits, panicked, emptied my tits, like 8 bottles worth. That straight down into the toilet. I'd know where to put them. I'd had to empty them into the toilet of a Bone Daddy's. It's hard being a mum. It's really hard being a mum. Well, the boys have just gone to the pub.
Yeah, they're just enjoying themselves. Yeah.
In a disgusting, piss-soaked toilet.
Oh, I know. And I'm sure, like, in a situation again, you'd now be like, I just ask for the break and find the designated breastfeeding room in the BBC or whatever. But when you're panicked, right? When you're in panic mode, you don't want to look different.
And also when you're like, I've said no to so, because I've said no, and I don't want people to think, now that I'm a mum, I can't do this stuff. Like, it's still a really male dominated, which is stupid. It's so stupid. Of course they'd let me do it. Of course I wouldn't care. But you just tell yourself these things, don't you?
You do. And, you know, sometimes rightly, because there is prejudice still. I know, as you say, feminism's done us a favour, but it's also still work in progress, isn't it? It's not like we're there. And do you feel like, because I think from just being a viewer or a social media user, I do feel like there's a kind of wave of, especially female comedians, but male comedians as well, sharing more about their family lives. Like, you know, Sarah Pascoe's now putting quite a bit of stuff, isn't she, about being a mum on. Do you think that sort of is going to help in the future, or do you feel like...
I think with my experience, it's definitely helped having women be trailblazers. Like, it does help. People like Catherine Ryan have always been very, very honest.
Yeah, she
it was actually just one of the best gigs I've ever done. I absolutely loved it. I was doing a gig and it wasn't billed as an all-female lineup. It just happened to be all-female lineup. So the three of us doing this gig. I was 9 months pregnant. The headliner, Felicity Ward, who's an amazing act, had just had a baby.
Right.
And the opener had a one-year-old. So we were all doing material. It was a material about to have a baby, just having had a baby, and what it's like having a baby. And it was lovely. Like, the audience loved it. And it was also really lovely talking to these two women. They're both very successful comics. Because I was really nervous about how having a baby would affect my career. Really, really nervous about it. And it was even nice just seeing them in a public space talking about being parents as part of their jobs. They were out, they were gigging, and it was just really comforting. But they did say, they were like, we're not going to sugarcoat you. Like, you can do it, but it is so much harder. And it is hard. I have friends who tell me that it looks like I'm doing so much. And in many ways, having a baby's helped me. I did a documentary.
We're going to get onto this. Yeah.
Yes. But I only did that because I had a baby. I've also just this year, I've won this really coveted bursary for writing. It's this BBC comedy bursary. Thank you. It's really
I sounded a bit teacher like then. Sorry, I didn't mean to sound like, here's a certificate for you.
No, I was really embarrassed saying the word coveted. Like, I was bragging. It's really anyone could do it. But, the reason I got it is because they give these bursaries out to people who need a bit of extra help. You know, they say, like, we're looking for like a diverse group across this, whatever. And I was like, look, I'm a mum and I can't carry on the way I've been doing it. So I've got this bursary, which is amazing. And I keep being like, it's going to be hard working now that mum. But I got the bursary because in the application, I was like, I need the bursary because I am a mum now, so I need the help. So in many ways, having a baby has actually helped my career. And in many other ways, it's hindered it. But it swings and roundabouts.
So, Alera, you mentioned doing a documentary, which is actually how I came to know of your work and your name in this introduction for the podcast. So tell the listeners a little bit about what the documentary was, how it came to be, and a kind of little overview of it, and then we'll talk some more.
Well, I'm amazed you watched it because it's a Welsh language documentary, but with subtitles.
So I put the subtitles on.
Lovely yeah. stuff. It's called Dyfodol Dewi, which means a future for Dewi. So the documentary is about having a baby whilst the world is ending. Is that a really bleak way to put it? It's about the fear of having a baby when the, you know, the world is on sort of the brink of environmental collapse. And first of all, if we should be having babies, and then how to cope when we have babies, and what are our options? How do we raise babies whilst the world is ending? It's that, really. It came about in a really weird way. So I used to do stand-up about how I would never have a baby because the world is ending. And a woman who was making, she wanted to make a documentary about people who, not just women, people who were choosing not to have children because there might not be a future for our kids. And she liked my bit of stand-up and asked if she could put it in as a clip. And then she went, actually, I'd quite like Alera to host it, to make the documentary. I don't do documentaries. I'm a comic. But I was like, yeah, I'll go along with it. And I was like, yeah, I'll be happy to do that. And I found out that I was pregnant. And then the next day, I had a meeting with the production company about doing this documentary. So I had to go in to do this document, to do this meeting, and be like, so there's been a spanner in the works. Turns out I'm very much having a baby now. And bless them, the producers, when actually we prefer that angle. The other one's too bleak. So this is a better angle.
We get the sad and the happy.
And then the document, it was a really bizarre way to make a documentary as well, because it's a peek behind the magician's curtain there. With documentaries, you don't make them in a linear fashion. You film a scene here, you film a scene there, and you put it together. But because I was pregnant, you could literally see me as the month passed.
Yeah, the tracking.
So we had to film in a direct timeline as much as we could. And also, a couple of the times, I had to wear a jumper that made me look less pregnant. I had to hide a belly because we forgot to film certain things. Also, we had what, 7 months to film. We were like, we need to film before this baby comes out of you. And in fact, they tried to film a few days after I had the baby, and they came round and it was so bleak. They were like, we'll come back at 4 months.
We'll give you another couple of days, love. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It was telling me all about how I'd be like with the baby, how that's encouraged me to be as green as possible. And they came round and there was like disposable nappies everywhere, Deliveroo takeouts. I've been burning Amazon package cardboard in the fireplace to keep us warm. I was like, please come back when I've sorted it.
Yeah, this is not what I wanted it to be like.
Sorry, I'm so tired. But I am now on the reusable nappies and I love it. And it's easy. Everyone told me it'd be really hard and it's not. If anyone's considering it, it's so easy.
Yeah, I use them for my second. So my eldest is 9 and I have to say when I was... And I was planning to get pregnant with her. When I got pregnant with her, I didn't think about climate emergency. I have to be perfectly honest. I was just like, I wanted to start a family. But okay, so that was like 9. So she's almost 10. So 10 years ago, sort of being pregnant or what have you. And then my second, who's now 5, with him, it didn't necessarily make me consider should I have a baby in the way it obviously did with you. But I was definitely more conscious about doing secondhand stuff. We use the reusable nappies, you know, got all the liners from a kind of nappy bank swap thing that was in this bit of London we were in. So I wasn't even buying all the reusable nappies new. I knew kind of did that and was a little bit more kind of conscious and aware of how I was like parenting him from a kind of environmental perspective. But yeah, it was really interesting that you were at that point that you almost... And I know you said Dowie, bless him, was a welcome surprise. But, you know, like you were almost not going to be a mum because of that thought process about the climate emergency and
My plan was always if I wanted kids, and again, it just wasn't, I wasn't thinking about it, but it was always to adopt. And even now, I never thought I wanted, I was like, definitely not a second kid. But you get to a point where you're like, oh, I don't want Debbie to be alone. Like, I have, I'm one of four. And I loved having siblings. Like, we were such a little group running around. So I think if I was to have a second, it would definitely be an adoption. Although what I've learned is you're not, there's also within it the population crisis, but you're not adding to the population crisis.
Not
if you
in
have
Wales,
two.
Right? I mean...
Yeah, I know. We need way more in Wales. There's parts that are too empty, as I'm discovering being in West Wales. We need some company.
Tracking you then, Ilary, through this pregnancy and this thought process of why it's maybe not always a sensible thing for the future of the planet to have kids or population situations. And like, how did they, did you help storyboard it, or were you involved in that? Or are you very much the subject of it, or how did it work?
It was a mixture. It was a weird documentary because obviously it was so personal. Mm-hmm. And the production company who helped me, Little Bird, absolutely wonderful. So because it was Welsh language, it was very budget. So the cinematographer was also the director. And she was a new mum. She had a 6-month-old at the time. Okay. So it was actually really lovely. They actually said straight off the bat, they were like, we're going to try and get a female director and person filming you, just because it might feel really intrusive with a man. And I'm really, really glad that they were adamant about that. And she was a new mum as well. So I think we were discovering this together, although she came from a completely different angle. I don't know what the word is. Basically, she's queer. So she had a baby through sperm donor, so it was really, really intended, this baby. It was interesting seeing her perspective on it as well. We did storyboard it. It was really hard filming, actually, because and even now, we really wanted there to be a hopeful message, because no one's going to stop having children. It's ridiculous. And also, I really don't like this, you know, the world's coming to an end. And it does feel like people are like, well, why are women having babies? Like, suddenly it's our fault again. Mm-hmm. Like, it's always women's fault for things. Mm-hmm. We're always going to have children. And in fact, there's, you know, in Japan, there's a population crisis in terms of no one's having babies. Everyone's getting old. No one can, you know, so there's a million issues. And one woman I met whilst we were filming this said it so beautifully. She was said that having a baby is a symbol of hope. Mm. And having a baby means that we can't be passive about it now. Mm. So my outlook before I had Debbie was, it's too late. It's too late. We might as well enjoy ourselves. Go on a plane. Go to Spain on holiday, because the world's ending. What, it's going to be 5 years until the Gulf Stream collapses? 5 years they're in. And when the Gulf Stream collapses, that's it. Mm. Mass death, mass starvation. We've got 5 years. So my thing was, well, I can't do anything, so I might as well enjoy it. And now I can't be passive. I can't, because I have an 8-month-old who's going to be 4, 5 when the Gulf Stream collapses. He's going to have to live through this. So I'm going to have to, as much as I can, ensure that there is a world he can exist in. So what it meant, she said, having a baby is a sign of hope. And it also means that you just have to get off your ass. And I have to be conscious. I can't take planes to Europe anymore. We're going to have to take a car, because I'm not just thinking about myself anymore. I have to think about the future. So God, it sounds really bleak, but that was my hope.
No. And I think you're right. The sacrifices we have to make are not at all like the adaptations our kids in probably countries that are going to be way more affected immediately than ours are going to have to make. So it's very tricky, isn't it? And obviously, like, this week in the news, like, Rishi's gone back on some of the green commitments that we'd hoped would be coming into play. So, you know, at policy level, it's not happening. So how does it have to happen at Oh, it's very complicated.
It is complicated. I'll be completely honest. I can't really watch the... Is this something... Is this... Am I saying something really obvious? Is this all mums? I can't really watch the news anymore, which isn't great for a satirist. I can't. It's too bleak. So what I've started doing is... Because sometimes when it's so bleak, I think it sort of disables you. You feel like you can't do anything, so it stops you doing stuff. So I've started following an Instagram account called Positive Green News.
Okay.
And it just uploads the good things that are happening. I think it's too depressing knowing what's going on in terms of the government. I think the Tory government will be out soon anyway. Mm-hmm. So I hope, you know, when we get a different people in charge, that hopefully the green agenda will be more important to them.
Oh, it's going to have to be, yeah.
It's going to, I mean, like, it literally has to be. We have no choice. And I think... It's that funny thing, isn't it? I think a lot of people think, well, I can't do anything. What I do is a bullet hole. It's a plaster on a bullet hole. So what's the point? But you doing the best that you can and hoping that the government actually puts things in place. They're not mutually exclusive. Mm-hmm. So you can do your little bit and also hope that the government does their bit. Yeah. And also the government is led by people. So if everyone says there's no point, we can't do anything, then there is no point. But if everyone makes these small changes that seem totally irrelevant, then it, I think it will help. And also we just don't have an option not to.
Yeah.
And there's many ways, like I do the reusable nappies, but I actually love them. I think my baby looks so cute with his massive ass.
You get
ass.
Nice patterns, don't you? You can They're do the so like fun. Cool mum thing still.
So cute. And also he's doing that thing where he can pull himself up to standing, but he can't. When he goes down, he does go down with a bump.
And when he's in padded,
disposable nappies, I think, oh, your tiny bum. You can really hear the thud. But in those big, fat nappies.
Five layers of terry towel. He's fine. Yeah.
Bounces right back up again. Like a trampoline on his ass. You know, there's some really fun things. And like,
yeah.
And you know, like traveling to, you know, if we go to France, like we're not even thinking about holidays now, but if we go to France, then we can, you know, take the train. And that's like, he loves I take public transport more now, and he loves it. Like, that's like the best thing ever for him.
Yeah,
he gets to meet people, he gets to stare out the window. So like, it's actually really, doing all those green things is actually really cute.
Yeah, there's ways to enjoy that, right? And I think in the documentary, when you kind of talk about how you were before you were pregnant and then your journey being pregnant and thinking it through, there's some really nice interviews, like, you know, obviously your partner's in the mix, but you speak to your brother as well, which I really like that clip of you and your brother talking. I really like that, like just like how different people like come together to sort of share their viewpoint on it. And I think it's good. I think that's, the more conversation around it and how we can improve, the more confident we'll all be about, you know, our convictions and doing what's good and right and stuff. So I think I really enjoyed it, and I think it is still on iPlayer. It is Welsh language, but you know, there's lots of Welsh speakers out there. Those of us who aren't, you can turn the subtitles on and just enjoy the sound of the Welsh language. So yeah, it's been out for a while. I don't know how long do things stay on iPlayer. I should know this, shouldn't I?
Just have, I mean, I should definitely know this, but I haven't got a clue. Should we say a year? That's a wild guess.
Oh, on my screen it says available for 12 days. I better get this podcast out quickly, hadn't I?
Only 12 days.
I mean, is it anywhere else? Like, can people watch it anywhere else, Hilary? Did the production company put it out anywhere?
No, it'll just be iPlayer or the Welsh version of iPlayer, which is Click. But I imagine that'll only have 12 days. But I'm currently pitching new documentary ideas, and they're all, surprise, mum-based, because that's my whole identity now.
Yeah, this is it. This is, I cannot absorb anything else now.
Yeah, this is it. And everything is mum-based.
Is that part of your bursary that you've got? Are you kind of having to like kind of pitch new ideas linked to that, or is it?
No, that's separate. The documentary making, just I didn't think I'd enjoy it, and I love it, and it's an excellent way to make money, and I need money. I need so much
for all those expensive train journeys to Europe. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And also money just so I can hand my baby to a nanny full time so I can carry on with a career. I want to pitch, I'm hoping to pitch one about the cost of childcare, about the childcare crisis.
Amazing.
Because I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
And that needs to be out there soon. Otherwise, it's just going to get worse and worse. So, yeah.
Exactly.
I'll write you a letter of support.
I'll cure that issue. Like I've cured the issue of the environment by doing a 90-minute documentary. No, how long is it? An hour-long documentary about it. So I'm going to be pitching more documentaries about childcare, and we want to do a follow-up about what it's like actually having a baby and trying to be green. We'll see.
Yeah, well, I will be looking out for it, and I'm sure listeners will be looking out as well. So, Ilaria, I think it's been lush to hear that. I was a bit, was that a bit Welsh or not? Lush.
Lush, that's very Welsh. I like that.
It's been lush talking to you. So how can listeners keep in touch with you, Ilaria, as we kind of...
You know what? I actually don't know. I used to have Twitter, but as soon as Elon Musk called it X, I was like, I got to get out of here.
It's this too is much for me. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, everyone else is still on it. So I might go crawling back with my tail between my legs. You can find me on X or Twitter. It's Ilary_Morgan. Mm-hmm. I'm also on Instagram very badly. Ilary_comedy, I think.
I'll put them in the show notes anyhow. So we can...
Or it'll be Ilary_Morgan. Or Ilary_comedy. See how bad
I am.
Do
you have a quick check?
I'm barely.
Do you quickly check on your phone.
To be honest, I wouldn't bother. I'm so bad at it.
I know, but if you're gonna move into it more than the X, then
You should. I just don't like Instagram. I really don't. Ilary_Morahan for a reason. I can't even be bothered to get into at the moment. Me and my boyfriend, we couldn't figure out surname, so I basically half changed. It's hell. You know don't what?
Worry. Don't. My kids have different surnames, so it's like I know the surname pain. So.
Oh, what a faff!
One's mine, one's my partner's. We kept it that way. That's how we did
it.
Did
you?
Yeah.
That's very old school Welsh thing to do, you know.
Oh, is it? I didn't realize it was a tradition of that.
Yeah, medieval Welsh people used to name one son after one child after their father, one child after their mother.
Oh, like well, we've done that.
Well done. Kind of cool, kind of feminist in an old school way.
Yeah, exactly. In an old school way, in a socially acceptable way.
It's just so, kind of part of me wishes it was just back in the day where women just didn't have the choice. They were like, just, it has one surname. He. No, don't follow me. But where can you see me?
Perfect. We'll find you somewhere in the ether. On Have I Got News For You credits and future documentaries. Well, Ilary, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me. I've had loads of fun.
I'm sorry about my attempt at bad jokes, but you know, you've got to try as a podcaster, you know.
It's never stopped me.
Good. Brill. Well, thanks, Ilary. And thank you to everyone for listening today. You've been listening to the Mother of All Solutions podcast with me, your host, Laura Prodrick. I am also still on X as at Solutions Mother and beginning to use Instagram a bit more at Solutions Mother as well. So do reach out, connect with me. And if you've enjoyed the episode, it would be great if you could share it with your friends on your socials, leave a little review. That would be super, super helpful. Thanks again for listening. And listen out for future episodes. Take care, everyone. Bye.
Bye.